What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Last week, in my capacity as the executive director of the Anti-Police Terror Project, I, along with a couple of hundred Oaklanders, flooded City Hall to hear the first reading of newly elected City Councilmember Ken Houston's homeless abatement plan. The standing room only house was agitated, to say the least, as staffer for Councilmember Kevin Jenkins, the vice mayor and city council president, presented a slideshow to council detailing the fine print of the plan. Joining us to discuss is Talia Husbands Hankin, known to many of us lovingly as Boots, the founder of Love and Justice in the Streets. Good morning, Boots.
Good morning, Kat.
We are also joined by John Janosko from Wood Street Commons. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kat.
Welcome to both of you. Thank you for coming back on the show. Context is super important. And so I'm actually, my producer, Teresa, pulled a clip that I want to play first, which is Brian Kilmeade on Fox and Friends discussing the murder of a woman by a person in mental health crisis. And we all know what he suggested, but I'll let him say it in his words. Let's roll that tape, Kay.
The solution to the problem is not to take their stuff and put them in jail. The solution to the problem is got to be humanistic. Oakland is not a city that wants to put its citizens in jail. We are not that Oakland. We are better than that. We can take care of our people, and we should, and we must.
The things that you guys want to take from us are the only things we own in this world, okay? We're not curbing. Yeah, we need help. But to throw us on the street with absolutely nothing has to feel like the jail.
I'm going to give Kirsten a minute to pull the right tape. That's actually the voice of James Van and another activist. I believe a woman that I did not catch her name, but I believe a woman who was also unhoused. And we're going to actually get to City Council's engagement with her as well, because one of the things I want to talk about was the absolute arrogance and disrespect of City Council that I felt was demonstrated inside of the meeting with the people that they are supposed to serve. What I was trying to get to with the Brian Kilmeade clip was national context, right? So in that clip, Kilmeade says that the answer to homelessness is that folks should die by lethal injection. And maybe we don't need to hear his voice say it. Maybe that's enough of repeating that nastiness. Boots, John, whoever wants to go first, right? The tone and tenor, like even in my, I've been an organizer for 30 years. The tone and tenor against the unhoused has got increasingly hostile. I say specifically over the last decade. While at the same time, right, our levels, our rates of folks that are living outside has continued to climb dramatically. Like Boots, I have flashbacks of us in 2018 in Snow Park. And at that time, there was like 6 or 7 times, like it was bad. And we knew that things were escalating. And that was part of the conversation that we were having during the mayoral election. But what we've seen, this explosiveness coupled with folks blaming the people that are impacted by bad policy for the problem. Talk about the contributing factors to more folks sleeping on our streets and sleeping inside.
That's right. Well, we know that housing is just unaffordable here in the Bay Area and also across the country. And currently in Oakland, we have over 5,500 unhoused people. And this means that, and we have only 1,400 shelter beds. So this means that on any given night, we have thousands of people sleeping in their vehicles and sleeping on the streets with no shelter. And this is in the context of the Trump agenda, which he has recently put out an anti-homeless statement and has brought in the National Guard to Washington, D.C., as well as to other places around the country, including Oregon forests, to forcibly evict unhoused people with nowhere to go. And we're seeing this national context is also playing out in Oakland with the new council member, Ken Houston's proposed legislation that he co-wrote with Patricia Brooks from Jenkins' office. John, do you want to add?
I mean, the cost of living in Oakland is continuing to go up in the Bay Area and across the nation, and wages stay stagnant. in the same place. So it's not keeping up with the cost. More and more people just can't afford rent every day, or just the day-to-day necessities. And it's sort of like you have to make a choice now. What do I do? You know? And so it's almost impossible when you're living in the Bay Area and your wage doesn't go up.
And I don't know, right? People like to other this problem of wages and the unhoused, us say here, right? We're all just one paycheck away. I work six jobs, six, right? Not all of them full time, but six. And I do that, and I've got the privilege of making a certain income. But when I think about the fact that white folks, a lot of white folks and folks with more means, right? They go to one job, they go to and from, and they can do things like I'm trying to do with six, with sick care of my kids, right? And I'm one job away, one client away from being outside. So I just want to level the playing field in terms of that conversation. And folks are like, that could never happen to me. It could absolutely happen to you. There's folks outside. There's a story I read about a woman that used to work in Napa at a wine, whatever, right? There's folks that worked at some of these corporations that are right down the street, not filling the condos that were built to house their employees instead of the people that actually live here. But everybody and anybody, Talia, I want to pull on a thread that you just mentioned, and John, you two can... way in here, and that's on shelter beds. So there's a report. I mentioned it when I spoke at City Council. There's a story. I don't know if you all saw it. It came out a little while ago. It was by Cal Matters. And it did an analysis of all of the so-called housing providers. We need another name for these folks. In the Bay Area, right, including Oakland, and including some folks out here like Boss. You know me, I name names. There's not a single solitary housing provider that is not embroiled in corruption scandal, providing the things that they actually need for folks. So when we say shelter beds, talk about what we're actually talking about, telling people that they have to go into.
Shelter beds. I hate this guy. So the shelter bed options that they have available in Oakland that they're using when they're going out to sweep in encampments is St. Vincent de Paul. That's an overnight shelter that you have to stand in line like at 6 o'clock. You get a bed, they fill up. You can't bring any stuff with you. You can't bring your animal with you. You're in there. Once you're in, you're in. You can't come back out. And then 6:30 in the morning, you're put out back onto the street in the morning time. And the whole process starts over again. Just like Talia mentioned earlier, there are 5,500 unhoused people on any given night in Oakland, and there is 1,200 shelter beds at this moment. That the majority of time, those are full because those shelter beds are long-term shelter beds, like the Mandela House, like the cabins that were recently closed down on Wood Street. So we just closed 100 shelter beds about a month ago, so that takes that down to about 1,000 shelter beds that Oakland really has. There's no place for people to go.
Yesterday, John and I were at a sweep, and there was a gentleman there who I had met multiple times before who was waiting to get access to a specific shelter that was specifically for elders and people with disabilities and medical vulnerabilities. And he didn't know if he was going to have a place to go that night. And the bulldozers were right next to him, right next to his belongings and his tent. And I told him that I would call my connections at the shelter to see if we could figure out where on the waiting list he was. And I got a call back a few hours later letting me know that, yes, he was, in fact, on the list, but there were 30 people on the list in front of him to get into this specific shelter. And not only were there 30 people on the list, but the list was closed. They had a freeze on opening new beds. So I don't know if that's because the city is telling them to hold beds for a specific sweep that's coming up, or what's going on, but no new folks are being able to come in and access those beds. And we have people who are desperately needing to be inside who have significant disabilities and medical conditions. And we know that, you know, in 2022 and 2023, over 700 people died in Alameda County from living outside. That is outrageous. That is unacceptable. And this is a life and death issue when people do not have access to being inside.
I just want to throw women and children inside of that dynamic of folks that desperately need to be inside. I keep hearing this number. I heard it at City Council, too, this number 5,500. I just want to clarify. Is that coming from the point in time count?
Correct.
Yes.
That's an undercount. I'm just going to say it. Exactly. That's not a question. That's an undercount. So for folks know, you hear 5,500, it is several thousand more people, very, very, very likely. What is the city's current encampment management policy? John, what are they supposed to be doing?
Supposed to be giving a notice, at least, if I'm not mistaken, a 72-hour notice on vehicles. And when it comes to, like, tents and encampment communities and stuff, it should have been a two-week notice that they get before they come in and sweep and clean up or, you know, whatever they call it. It's sometimes hard to actually remember what the policy says, because they're not following the policy at all. Like you mentioned earlier, the sweeps have been ramping up from day one. For the last 5 years, every year the sweeps get worse and worse and worse. And just like now with the Ken Houston ordinance proposal legislation, it's crazy, because I don't want to disrespect what all the work that people did to show up and voice, you know, concerns and call in and email and stuff. But exactly what he's talking about, they're doing right now on the street. Me and Boots went out yesterday to three different places that they are clearing the encampment. We saw a couple of other places by West Oakland Bar Station, which we didn't know they were even clearing it. And they were clearing it while we were using all our energy the last couple of weeks to fight Ken Houston's ordinance. I'm just saying this to say that they are rampaging through communities right now, and they're not following their own encampment management policies at all with notices. They're not offering shelter spaces, and when they do, it's always the overnight shelter. They haven't been following it since day one.
And that's a good segue to where I was going to go next. Let me tell you, you can pick up here after I just sort of put like part of what I found absurd, right, and where people were having very visceral reactions, audible reactions to it, including myself, was when Patricia Brooks, who, by the way, used to be a staffer for Nate Miley at the Board of Supervisors, so just folks know, she knows what's happening, which is why after she presented, I said to her directly, I said, you can't believe a single thing that just came out of your mouth. You can't. You can't, or you're not living on the same plane as the rest of us, because you just watch this. I digress. Anyway, in the slideshow, there were things like protecting people's property and holding it for treating people with dignity and respect, offering whatever resources were possibly available. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, that doesn't happen now. So what are you talking about, Talia?
So that's correct. I've been to hundreds of sweeps, and I think I've seen the city bag and tag someone's belongings two times in the hundreds of sweeps that I've been to. So that is just an example of how they are not actually aligning with their policy. One thing I wanted to bring up that is important to note is that the current encampment management policy has language in it that they will not criminalize and arrest people for being unhoused. And the new policy that was written by Patricia Brooks crosses that language out and specifically allows the city to arrest people for being homeless, specifically for re-encamping in a place where they were swept from before, which is ridiculous, because where are people supposed to go? If they're not being offered any shelter, according to this new policy that's also being taken out, then there's nowhere to go. People are, of course, going to be back in the places where they were. And the places, I also want to bring up that many people who are living on the streets in Oakland are living in the neighborhoods in which they and their families for generations have lived. This is people from Oakland who have been pushed outside and are now on the sidewalks in the communities where they have deep roots and connections. And so being swept over and over and being told to get out of their neighborhoods is really harmful on so many levels.
I got a brother that lives down the block from me. I've been in where I live in the West since 2009. And there's a brother that lives in an RV down the block from me that was here when I got here. Right. In the discussion, right? Like that's the end of discussion. He was here before I got here. That's the end of discussion. I'm actually proud of my block. I think it's an example of what could be, right? He's part of the community. Like, he cleans up, we clean up, there's commerce. Like, we know each other. Right. I think there's three kinds of politicians. I'm glad I'm none of the above, but there's three, right? There's Well, actually, there's four, because we do have right, folks that actually walk their talk. Those are far and few between. I would say there's one on our entire city council right now. We've got politicians that are ignorant. We've got politicians that are obtuse, and we've got politicians that are evil. Now, I just come out and say, right, I think, you know, people know this is not a shot. I think Libby Schaff is evil. I think she knew exactly what she was doing, and she did it anyway, right? She did it in the name of greed and money and for corporations. I think Councilmember Wang is obtuse. I do. I think she just, like, doesn't. I could be wrong, but I just think she don't get it. Houston, and this is a question I'm asking you because you all are the experts on the ground and you are the ones that are trying to engage these offices, right? I spent a lot of time with him because we were both on the mayoral campaign in 2018. Ignorant? Does he just not get it? Does he just not understand that if you enact these policies and you sweep these people or you shove them in jails, that A, that's inhumane, and B, of course they're going to come back, because like it's not like it's not abracadabra. They're not going to disappear. You tell me.
Well, I think that there's a lot of new people on council. So my hope is that we can educate people and that we can support our new elected officials to get on board and understand what's really going on and to come up with real solutions. So that's the first part. And then in terms of what's happening now, this is absolutely understood by the people who are doing this. There is a sense that people don't care. People want to invisibilize and disappear poverty. People don't want to see it. So we know that there's hundreds and hundreds of people are calling into city hall all the time to complain about houseless relatives and people who are living outside. And the sweeps that are happening don't humanize people. Don't say these are members of our community. These are Oakland residents. These are voters. These are working people. But instead dehumanizes people. And I think that that's precisely what this policy does. It takes away people's humanity, and it allows for just this pushing away and invisibilizing of poverty, and that there's no real sense of what impact that has on human beings, on our neighbors, on other Oaklanders.
John?
I think he's new. I think he has a lot to learn. I think he's easily influenced. I think he likes to think that he's in charge. People get into a position of a little power, a little authority and stuff, and I feel like sometimes they don't know how to act. I think he's influenced by real estate and big money. Mm-hmm. I think he says what is needed to be said in the room that he's in at that moment, and is very wishy-washy with his conversations with people. I think some other things, which I won't say on the radio, but I think he is uneducated when it comes to the unhoused community. I think he has a lot to learn. And yeah.
You know, he's either listening now or he will listen. He follows my social media, and he likes to know what people are saying about him. He says to me that we both want the same thing. And I'm assuming what he means by that, or I know that what he means by that is, right, that we both want folks off of the streets. I want folks off of the streets and in the housing. That's what I want. I want folks off of the streets and the housing with the resources and supports and job training and opportunity, right, like all of that stuff, harm reduction, substance utilization support, like all of the stuff that we're supposed to do. I'm going to hold him to the account, that same affirmation. But because I know he's listening, he's going to listen, I want to give the two of you an opportunity to speak directly to him.
John?
Speaking directly to Ken, reach out. Have conversations with Woodstreet Commons. We have humane solutions that can be implemented ASAP, honestly, okay, that could actually do the exact thing that everybody in Oakland wants to see done, is people off the streets, people into a safe environment, a safe, humane environment where they can get access to water, electricity, food, stability, a small foundation, so they can start revisiting building their lives. We can't do this separately. We can't do this fighting against each other. And I feel like the world is watching. Our city council, Ken, we have to come together. We all do agree that we want to clean up the streets. We want to get people into safe places. We want them to have housing. But we have to work together to do this. We can't fight against each other. And the way that you're proposing it is very dangerous to the unhoused community. And it's going to criminalize them more. It's going to land them all in jail. And taking away people's homes, the last thing that they have, they can call a safety place, doesn't even add up. It doesn't make any sense. I never have seen a situation where somebody getting evicted or losing their home made their life any better.
We have such an opportunity right now to work together and to uplift the needs of housed and unhoused members of our community. We have millions of dollars from Measure W coming in for real solutions that we can use creatively to get people into safe places, into shelter and into housing, and to stabilize people. And we have a mayor who has just opened an Office of Homelessness Solutions and has a 5-point plan. And so if we align ourselves and work together, like Donna is saying, there's a lot of opportunity right now for our city to do things differently and to uplift human rights.
So, you know, I always want to follow the lead of the most impacted. Are you saying we should move with determined hope, insistent hope, and save escalation for a little bit later down the road, that there's still opportunity here? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, most definitely. Always opportunities that they help our most vulnerable, our community, and to come together and be leaders in our community and show people how it's really done. We don't leave people behind.
And last thing I'll have you comment on, and then I'm gonna let you all go. I know things are busy. Like this is right. Everybody want to be the poster child for standing up to Trump, Gavin. It seems to me that enacting a policy that would allow in some iteration of a Gestapo on our streets and disappearing people is reenactment of what Trump is doing at the federal level, not resistance to it, and actually combined together. It is even more dangerous, right, than if we were not in the current federal conditions, yeah? John?
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's extremely dangerous within this political context. And I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about RVs and vehicle dwellers as well.
Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, go
ahead. That's a big part of this policy, is taking it out of the encampment management area and saying that OPD will now be in charge and can now just tow and fine people if they're like don't have their registration up to date for all kinds of things. And we are seeing that is already happening across Oakland at the sweeps, that OPD is already towing people. Just 2 days ago, a woman's vehicle was towed in West Oakland, her RV, with no notice. They just showed up and they towed it, and they gave verbal notice to many other people that they were going to come back and that they had 72 hours that had already expired. So we know that this is very dangerous and will make people more homeless in our city. If we take away people's vehicles and people's only shelter where they have the opportunity to have a locked door, privacy, and a little bit of safety, and we steal those and we impound those vehicles, then we leave people on the streets to die.
John, your final thoughts here?
I just really think this is a great opportunity, a big opportunity for Oakland, Alameda County to do things differently and to show California, maybe even show the whole nation, there is a more humane way to deal with homelessness, to, you know, help, you know, abate homelessness. And it's not, I feel like it doesn't have to be us against them like this and stuff. Right now, we have an opportunity to show people how it's really supposed to be done in a humane way, so people are getting their needs met. It doesn't have to be so violent. We have the opportunity to do this because all of us want the same thing. We just have to show them that there's a more humane way of doing things.
That's why I need you all on the show, because, you know, I'm all about let's get to the fight part. But y'all right, there gotta be some steps before that. Lastly, Boots, what's next? Like, what should people be paying attention to? What's your next call to action?
Sure, we want to invite people to follow us on Instagram, Wood Street Commons, and Love and Justice in the Streets. We also really need donations. We are out in the streets supporting people who are being swept and having their belongings taken every day. So we need folks to follow us and to donate generously. Also, today is a heat wave. It continues today. So go out and check on your unhoused neighbors. Go out and bring cold water, drinks, and ready-to-eat food to folks and make sure that they're okay. And we will continue to put out calls to action as this evolves and have and invite people to come and both make calls to city council and to the administration, as well as to come and speak in person at the next meeting that we don't know the date of yet.
All right. Thank you both for joining. You know, I'll have you back, so we'll be in conversation soon.
Thank you. Be well.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.